But I tell you, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we don't grieve as those who don't have hope.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will once again take us to the book of Genesis in our continuing series, looking into the life of Abraham and the lessons learned by this man of faith in his journey with God. Our message this evening is entitled, Faith for Life's Seasons, and takes us into some of the darkest moments that can challenge a commitment to faith. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter 23, and listen as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message from the Word of God. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Father, as we open your word, we pray that it might be a blessing to everyone, that each person might hear your voice. Lord, there are so many different areas we'll touch, but minister to every heart, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen. A man received a call from his wife who was traveling around Europe. And she said, "How's my cat?" He said, "She's dead." The wife said, "Honey, why do you have to be so honest? Couldn't you have broken it to me more slowly? You have ruined my entire trip." She said, "What you could have done, you could have said, the cat is on the roof. And when I called you from London, you could say, the cat is sluggish. And when I call you from New York, you could have said, the cat is sick and at the vet. And then when I got home, you could have said, I'm sorry, the cat is dead." The husband, of course, he was surprised by this new protocol. And he told her he would try to comply. He said, I'm willing to try. And then she said, "How is my mom?" The husband was silent for a moment. He said, "She's on the roof." Today's story does not break the news to us slowly. It starts by immediately, in Genesis chapter 23, it starts by immediately informing us of Sarah's death. 62 years after we were first introduced to Sarah, she breathed her last breath and died. Today I want to speak to you on the theme, Faith for Life's Seasons. Faith for Life's Seasons. The first season we want to talk about is faith for seasons of grief. Faith for seasons of grief. We need to realize, the first thing I want to say is that we need to realize that grieving is a gift from God. And no wonder in Genesis chapter 23 verse 2, the Bible says, "So Sarah died in Kirjat Arba," that is Hebron, "in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." You see, grieving is a gift from God. Sarah was a princess. That's what God called her when he changed her name from Sarai to Sarah, because Sarah means princess. She was Abraham's princess. God recognized her as a princess. Abraham had lost his princess and he was weeping for her. Now, sometimes well-meaning people will tell a mourning family, "Don't cry." That's bad counsel. I want you to hear me, because sometimes if we're not careful, someone has lost their dear loved one and you see them the next day and you say, "Don't cry." I want you to know, let them go ahead and cry. Amen. Grieving is one of God's gifts to help heal our broken heart when we lose someone we love. That's one of the things that God gives us to help to heal. So don't get too holy. Oh, come on now. You know how we are. Somebody, the lady's husband just died, and immediately you walk in and you say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes we need to remember that we are people of clay. Amen. Most of us were not born in the church. And so sometimes it is good for us to realize it's okay. Listen, by the way, there's going to be a time for us to remind them that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. So don't get me wrong. That's in there for a reason. So there comes a time when it's time to remind them of that. But don't be too quick to do it up front. Amen. It's good sometimes when you arrive at first just to sit. Oh, it's okay to give them a hug. You know, sometimes we feel when we visit the grieving, we have to say a whole lot. But sometimes all you need to do is sit down and if you want to cry, you can go ahead and cry too, if you know the person. Amen? Now, don't be like some of these professional criers, you know. You know about the professional criers. They don't know who died. They don't know who died. Or relatives who it is, but they can put down an amazing bawling. Listen, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself wept. So it's okay to let people grieve. But second thing I want you to notice as we move along, believers grieve with hope. Aren't you glad about that? Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, and if the person who died knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we can grieve with hope. And verse 3 of chapter 23 tells us, then Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth. Listen, by the way, it's good sometimes to realize we shouldn't be grieving forever. Sometimes the loved one, we find someone and they're grieving for their relative. And when you ask them, when did the person die? They say, in 2010. It's okay to grieve, but there comes a point when you need to get up. You got to get up so you can be a blessing to those who are still alive. Am I right about that? But I tell you, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we don't grieve as those who don't have hope. Abraham got up because Abraham knew that Sarah was in the Lord's care. And so after he wept for a while, he got up because he was grieving with hope. You know, there's a wonderful passage, and I want us to go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's well known, but listen, some of you are not too familiar with this passage. We have individuals in our church at every different level, and therefore we're going to have to from time to time go back over what some of us know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and even if you know it, this is sweet stuff. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13, and if you're a young believer, you need to have this in your Bible noted, because this is key. I don't want you, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Oh, this falling asleep, it don't mean that they're dozing. It means that this is a believer in Jesus Christ who is physically dead. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about what has happened to those who are asleep, because the believer in Jesus Christ who dies is just asleep. Amen. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You see, if the person is not a believer, there is no reason for hope. But if the person knows Jesus, we can have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Those who are Christians who sleep in Jesus, God will bring them with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What a comforting thought. If a Christian dies, they are with the Lord. But you know, sometimes people say to me, but if when you die you're with the Lord, what is all this about? What is this about the Lord coming and bringing them with him? And then we're going to have a body. And you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about this resurrection. Why do we need a resurrection if to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? If the moment you die you go to be with Jesus, what is the need for a resurrection? You see, listen, when you die, a believer who dies, their spirit and their soul goes to be with the Lord. The immaterial part. Oh, you say, oh, that's no good. You better believe that's good. Because, listen, you, the real you, is not the case. The real you is not the envelope. The real you is inside the case, the shell, the body. That's where your emotions, that's where your feeling, everything is in there. I wish I had time to preach this, but I have a whole lot more to cover, so I can't go too deeply here. But suffice it to say, listen to me good. So when you die, the spirit and the soul are with the Lord, so you're in a place of bliss. But when the resurrection comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, guess what? We're going to get a body. There is going to be a body that cannot taste death, a body that can suffer no pain. Because guess what? I need a body to walk on the streets of gold. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to need a body to walk on the streets of gold. I'm not going to be floating on the streets of gold. I'm going to be walking on the streets of gold. I need a body so that I can inhabit my mansion. Somebody say amen. I knew it this morning. So right now we're with the Lord, but when the resurrection comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we will actually get a body, a glorified body, a body like the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will have body, soul, and spirit in heaven. Throughout the countless ages of eternity, we will be with our blessed Lord. So listen, a believer grieves in hope.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
The question is, are you a believer? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has He saved you?
My daughter, and she gave me permission. My daughter was sharing with us this week. She said,
do you remember how I got saved?
I did, but she told me this story. She said,
you know, Dad, you were preaching under the tent. This is years ago. You were preaching under the tent, and you said that if we died and we never accepted Jesus as our Savior, we would go to hell. And I did not want to go to hell.
She got saved that night, right in her home. She received Jesus Christ as her Savior. Listen, young person, she was only 6 years old.
That's what she remembered that. She was 6 years old. You may be 5, you may be 6, you may be 66. It doesn't matter. You may be 36 or 46. The question of the hour is, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him for sure? Because I want you to realize, if you miss heaven, you will not miss hell.
Oh, preachers don't want to talk about hell anymore. Oh, hell is from some old-fashioned preaching. Oh, you're one of them old guys who talk about hell. No, I am as current as today's news, because I'm bringing you the news from the Word of God. Amen. Jesus says, Jesus talked more about hell than He talked about heaven, because hell is such a place to shun. Jesus did not want anyone to go there, and that's why Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross, so that you might receive eternal life. I need to ask you, have you received eternal life yet? You know, it's a tragedy when moms and dads, parents, they will ask, Pastor, do you know where my child, my spouse went? I can't answer.
only way I can answer is by the person's fruit, by their personal testimony. And I need to ask you this morning, if you died, would your loved one know where you went? The greatest tragedy to me is for some loved one to die and for me to have no assurance where they went. And I beg you, sir, young lady, madam, child, whoever you are, I beg you today, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you have a valid ticket to heaven. For those of you who are supposed to be Christians and you're living like the devil, you better turn around, because listen, some of you are living such ungodly looking lives that your loved one is still going to be worried where you are, because there is no real sign that you have been touched by the Spirit of God. And this ought to be a call for us to say, God, today is my day. I'm ready to change. Lord, I'm coming home. Oh, I pray that that will happen to somebody here today. So we're talking about faith for seasons of grief. And I thank God that believers grieve with hope. Are you glad for that? But I want to talk secondly about faith for seasons of compromise. Now, I must be honest, when I looked at this passage, I was going to skip over it because I said there's nothing to preach from in Genesis chapter 23, only to find out that the longer I stood on Genesis chapter 23, I could preach on this for probably another week or two. Faith for seasons of compromise. Because of faith in God, Abraham and Sarah left their home and family in Mesopotamia and had now settled in Canaan, the land of promise. But in those days, even if you left home, I want you to get this, even if you left home back in those days, when death occurred, it was time to go home. Why? Because people always wanted to make sure that their body was buried in their ancestral home. So you may wander from home trying to make life, but when death occurred, they took you back to your ancestral home. So if Abraham went to bury Sarah in their ancestral home, nobody would have had a problem with that. He'd be doing the reasonable and customary thing. But as I thought about it, I said, isn't that how compromise works? Compromise often presents us with options that seem reasonable and customary. Am I right about that? Options that are not necessarily the will of God, but they seem reasonable. They don't seem so far-fetched. But by burying, when Abraham decided to buy a burial site in Canaan, he was making a statement. I don't want you to miss that. When he decided to buy a burial site, remember now, I'll talk in a moment about this. He had absolutely no property at that time, you know. Abraham was rich, but he had no land. He possessed absolutely no land. This was the first property Abraham was going to buy. Isn't that amazing? His first property was a burial site. And by the work of God, it turns out Abraham was buying a burial site to bury all the patriarchs. Little did he know, this property that he bought would end up being the burial site for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob, for all their wives. He was making a statement by buying this site that I have decided to follow God and nothing is going to make me turn back. But why didn't Abraham go back? I just said he had no property in Canaan. There seems to have been no strings keeping him in Canaan. So why not just cut your losses and go back home? I think the answer is in Hebrews chapter 11. Keep your finger, leave your paper, you know, something in Genesis 23, because we're coming back there. But for the time being, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And for those you're not too familiar, it's towards the back of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. When you arrive there, say amen. I'm going to read for you verses 8 through 10.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreigner, as in a foreign country, dwelling in what? Tents. He had no permanent place. He was dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want you to notice that he was looking for the city which has foundations. The reason, listen, Abraham's motivation was that he was looking for a city, not an earthly city. He was looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Listen, put in your notes, a heaven-focused faith combats compromise. A heaven-focused faith combats compromise. Some people say Christians are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Anybody ever heard that expression? But I think our bigger problem is that we're so earthly minded. I told you before, I heard one very well-known preacher say, I'm not waiting for streets of gold. I want my gold now. In our Sunday school class today, we touched on this. The need for a heaven focus. And part of the challenge of the church is that if we're not careful, we want to build our kingdom right here. It's all about right here. And I want to challenge you as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus, listen to me real good. Young man, you're still in your 20s or your 30s, and you're trying to make a life for your family. Yes, go ahead and make a life for your family. But never lose sight of heaven. It's all about heaven. And anytime the church loses its focus, its heavenly focus, we lose our impact. The studies have shown that in times when the church has a heavenly focus, we have more impact on earth. But when we decide to focus on earth, we have no focus either on earth or in heaven. May God help us, you as an individual believer, me as an individual believer, that this idea that God has saved me, that I can be with him, that is going to be such a big motivation that it might help me not to compromise. You see, the reason I will compromise is because I take my eyes off the prize. I fail to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. It's about Jesus. Satan knows that we have such an earthly focus. So he constantly dangles earthly bait in front of us. And sometimes he gets us to nibble. Am I right about that? It starts so simple. I told you about compromise. It starts so simple. It starts with a lunch date with the wrong person. Am I right about it? Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Because the Spirit of God, you know one thing, the Spirit of God didn't leave you, it didn't abandon you. When you're about to go on it, he made the Spirit actually prick you, and something said to you, should I really go? Am I right about it? There was something in you that said, should I? Or maybe a lunch date. It might have been a puff. Trying out what the friends... So you think all these kids know that they claim that they're transgender, or kids who are homosexual, you think that they were really born that way? The kids go to college. Oh, somebody decided to try it out. We try out all sorts of stuff. You see, the devil, he dangles some bait in front of us. For some of us, he dangles wealth. You know, if you cut that corner, if you don't tell the income tax man about X, Y, or Z, oh, you know what I'm talking about. In fact, right now, he's probably talking to somebody here. He dangles the bait in front of us, but soon we've gone further than intended. One nibble, and we're hooked. Has he hooked you? I want you to know that even if Satan has hooked you, freedom is available in Jesus Christ today. Like the prodigal. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He had wandered far away, but he came to his senses and he says, I will go to my father and I will say I have sinned. And I'm praying that there's somebody here this morning as you sit in this audience that you're willing to say to God, God, I have sinned. Are you willing to say that, God, I have sinned?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.